Often in our family series for our VBS. Today we're going to learn about protecting. And this lesson comes out of, it starts off in Genesis chapter 14, verses 11 through 20. 14, verses 11 through 20. This story is about Abram and Lot. Before we get really into the meat of it, we're going to have prayer, and then we'll get started. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you once again, dear Lord, just thanking you for this opportunity to learn your word, dear Lord. We thank you for bringing us together. We just thank you for giving us the spirit and heart to be here. Your people, dear Lord. Please open up the word to us, dear Lord. Open up your give us a little bit of your understanding, dear Lord, so we can take this seed out to the world, dear Lord, and it can be fruitful. We want to be fruitful seed for you. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you're doing with this church and with us, your people. We thank you for everything. Please continue to bless us, strengthen us, heal us, and forgive us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In this chapter, it's about Abram and Lot.
Chapter what again?
Chapter 14, verses 11 through 20. I'll read through real quick, and then we can get to the purpose. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Ishmael, and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. All right, our lesson is about protecting. And in this text, Abram, when he found out that his family was taken captive to no telling what end would have came to him, he immediately got his people together to go save his family. And he wasted no time. He took basically soldiers from his own household and went to get his brother's son back. And when I first read this script, I was thinking, I got a little bit ahead of myself. I said, wasn't Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed already? But this is before that time came. So they were at war. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were at war with other people. And they got pushed out. And the king took what he could, and they fled the scene. They got away. And that's why these other people came, and they were able to take all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took Lot while they were at it. Because the king and his men, they didn't want to be defeated. They didn't want to get killed, so they left. So the cities got pillaged. So it just shows, and what's real nice about this was God provided a way for Abram to get the message that his family was taken. Because with everything going on, that one individual or a couple of individuals that got free could have been killed or could have got taken into slavery right with Lot. But they got away and they let Abram know. And God blessed Abram so he would have the means to go get Lot back. So it's also a message of favor. Because without God giving the escapees favor and giving Abram the favor of having the means to take care of his family and protect his family, this whole bit of script wouldn't even be in the Bible. Because he's a provider. And he protects his people. And because Abram was a man of God, he gave him the means to take care of his people too. And a good thing that, you know, he also gave Abram wisdom. Because if he had just took his, because he went against armies. So he had to be strategic with what he did. So without the wisdom that God gave him, he could have took his 318 men and pursued them into slaughter. They could have been killed by the other king's men that just went and pillaged these whole cities. And we know that Sodom and Gomorrah were, you know, they ended up being really bad places that weren't small. They weren't villages in any means. They were large cities. And they went and they pillaged them regardless, even though the king had left. The people that were there couldn't do anything to stop them. And I went through and I was trying to see this and see that, and I looked up another scripture. And Genesis 15:1, it reads, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So again, that's the Lord letting us know that he will provide us with protection. And I almost missed that when I was going over the script. And I said, you know, this is just another piece. You know, God always, he's a provider, and he'll provide us protection. And I just love that, because I said, you know what, if he doesn't provide us what we need, then nobody will. This world will devour us just easily. Because the devil is a roaring lion, and he's on the hunt. And we're that wounded calf. We can't get away. So we have to really lean on the Lord for protection, understanding, and strength. Otherwise, we'll get devoured and we'll be another lost person out in the street. If we last that long. So another thing I said, because as the teaching goes on and we're learning more and more, the Lord told me to take y'all to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, which is familiar to us who are here on Sundays. And it's another form of protection that God gives us. And that's the whole armor of God. And this armor is, the armor of God is his protection over us. He gives us the means to fight the enemy, to fight the good fight, and to be prepared. Ephesians 6. 10 through 18. And I wrote some notes down for every piece. I'll read through it real quick. That way, as I read my notes out, y'all will see how I took it. And then, you know, every, because not my interpretation, it won't be everybody, but it'll be general. And I think it's decent. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And I wrote down that the loins, the having your loins girt up with truth, is to cover your midsection, which also vital organs here. And that's kind of like utility belt, and it's support. A lot of people don't even think about it when you wear a belt and you hurt your back, they give you a support belt or a back brace, and that's right around your midsection and your loins, and that's to strengthen you up, because a lot of us have so much, we're carrying so much that we can't stand up straight. I mean, we just have so much on us that without a little support, we would topple over. So it's a necessary that we have that piece of equipment. And the breastplate of righteousness, we have to have a prepared heart. The breastplate covers our chest and other vital organs. Just with all the pressure that the world and our peers put on us, we couldn't be able to breathe. It would literally take the air out of our cells, the air out of our lungs, if we weren't also protected above, not just below. You have to prepare your heart for battle. Don't leave your feelings exposed to the enemy. Because with the breastplate on and you're covering your heart, people may say things to you, people might do things to you that would send you into a rage, have you mad, have you in more sin than what they committed. So you have to be protected. And it goes on, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have to have good footing, a firm foundation, and be ready. Every time if you ever go to the beach and you're standing on sand, sand will sink. And that's the devil's best place for you. Somewhere where you can't have good footing. But if you're on solid ground, you can stand that ground. You can take the push of the devil if you have good foundation under you. If you got some raggedy shoes on and standing in sand, you're in trouble. But if you're standing on the Lord, which is the rock, He'll have you those good shoes. You won't be wearing sandals. You'll be wearing some track shoes if you need to run. You'll be wearing some hikers if you need to hike. And, if you need those steel-toed boots because you're going to war, then He'll put them on you. And He'll put you in the place you need to be to do this fight. Because our Lord is no joke. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I have keep thee protected from fiery darts. Darts from the mouth, darts from authority, darts from circumstances. It's not just, these darts aren't just from other people, because your circumstances can be a dart that puts you down. If you're not careful, you can let that surprise bill that came out of nowhere break you down too. You can let, it can literally take your finances to a place where you didn't expect them to be at. I mean, if your car break down, just circumstances. Anything that would hinder your faith, that would make you question yourself or question what God has planned for you. That's a dart that if you have that shield of faith and you're using it, just like we use the Bible as our instructional guide. If you have your shield, He gave it to you to use. You can't let your circumstances define where you're going. Apart from authority, sometimes the very people that are over you, supposedly looking after you, can be the same ones that put you down and put you in a spot where it's harder for you just to get through the day. And I kind of experienced that at work when one guy said something and then the foreman came to give me a little rah-rah meeting, and I was angry. I got mad about it. It took me a little while, but I got mad about it because I said, I'm up here one shift And you coming to give me a rah-rah meeting when all last week these guys were doing this guy dirty and nothing was said. I said, okay. I said, I know how to handle this. Lord, take care of this for me. I said, I'll put the greatest authority on this. I said, my authority don't mean nothing. I'll put God's hand on this and I'll be all right. And today he was talking to me all nice and kind. I just walked away. Thank you, Lord.
did he say anything to you about what he
Nope, absolutely
you?
Not.
What he dreamed last night?
He should have. But that also goes with darts in the mouth. Because what he said, you know, it could have affected my whole attitude while I'm at work. But I got enough trouble with the machine that ain't working, so I didn't need that on top of it. And then we go on to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. And you have to beware what you listen to, what you watch and eat. And you have to protect your mind. Because the things that, like television, music, we had a series where we had to protect our eye gate and our ear gate, because the devil will use anything that he can to get inside us. So if we're not careful, we could be watching TV and just a little commercial go by. We don't think nothing of it, but it might have a racial content to it that just snuck in, and later on we thinking about it when, you know, it shouldn't even got through. So we have to always be mindful of what we watch, what we listen to. Even a song come over the radio, you might not, you know, you might be doing something else and the music just playing, but that could be the devil trying to send you a little subliminal message saying it's okay to do that, or it's okay to do this. You know, oh, here, don't pick up your Bible today because you're busy doing something else. You know, so we have to be careful what we, and plus what we think. Like with, you know, if we're not using our shield properly and one of those darts from our circumstance hit us, like me, for example, I got mad. That's because I didn't have my helmet on tight. So I wasn't thinking right. So, you know, a little couple extra clicks and I might have been all right. But you have to be ready, and you have to be mindful, and you have to think of the situation, the circumstances you're in. You have to be careful what the world and the devil brings to you.
You talked about first of all, the setup that you see things. They set the commercial up, they get the blood commercial, they sit at the table, and they talk about what would you make the world out of, whatnot. And me and my wife say, what, I want more or less, or, you know, that's the perspective that we have. So you have to watch yourself and what you say, and then that causes you to think and you start angry.
Right. Yeah, commercials are made to entice, and they can go both ways. Because you got some commercials that are good, but overall they're to get something out of you. So you gotta, you know, keeping the armor of God on you, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls that the world continually sends at us. Also in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that, we must be careful with how we use it. Because this word, we can help send someone to the Lord or send somebody away from the Lord. Too many people use the Bible in a manipulative way to get something out of you. Because the devil sends his false prophets and they will read you a sweet verse and they'll have it so twisted up and have you thinking about it. Oh yeah, that sounds good the way they said it. And have you going down the wrong path. All of a sudden the path seems so much bigger and easier. When you know that the path to heaven is narrow. It's one way. There ain't two lanes. There ain't no signs that say, do not enter. God wants us to come to heaven. But people use the Bible to get their way. So we have to be careful. And a lot of people use it to make money. They'll open up a church real quick. And they'll say, come in anyway. It don't matter how you're dressed. It don't matter how you are. Come on in and I'll put a sweet bug in your ear and see how much money you get out your pocket. Just as long as I make you comfortable, you'll keep coming. You'll bring somebody else. And I'll keep you comfortable. I'll keep them comfortable. And, bring girlfriend, come on in. I'll marry you. Y'all be all right. Make sure you put the ties in a bucket. It's dangerous. People constantly, we as Christians, when we use scripture for ourselves and for others, it has to be to build them up. It has to be so we can use it as a testimony sometimes to say, look, this is what God did for me when I was in a really bad place. And then you can even, and there's always, I found that there's always, I can't find it, but there's always scripture to back up every testimony. So if you go through something, you can always go, you can look through this Bible and you'll find a script where somebody went through something. You can say, I went through this, and so-and-so in the Bible, they went through this, and this is how God took care of them, and this is how God took care of me. There's nothing new in here, and there's nothing new under the sun that hasn't been gone over. And this book is old. It wasn't made yesterday. I don't know about this Bible, but but the Word of God is ancient, and it works. It works. We got to remember this Word works. We have to be careful with how we use it, because you can literally minister somebody to hell. And once you do that, you're in bad shape then, because you need somebody to help you. So we have to be careful with how we use the Word. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What it's saying is you must have a good prayer life. This house, this is a house of prayer. Jesus went out and went in and cleaned his Father's house out, because it was just a den of thieves. They were just robbing people blind in there. And he ran them out because it's his Father's house, is a house of prayer. And we have to pray. That's how we communicate with God. We can't just walk around and, well, Lord needs to do this for me, or Lord, thank you, and keep saying, we can say, Lord, thank you. But if you don't have a dedicated prayer life, where you're not necessarily on your knees, but you're seriously talking to the Lord, some of the rest of the armor could just be pieces. Ineffectual pieces if you don't have a prayer life. All these go together. They work hand in hand. One goes right with the other. And having a dedicated prayer life, talking to the Lord all the time, He'll give you the strength you need to get through a lot of the situations that you might come across that might get past your armor. It's a necessary. We should represent God our Father at all times. So having that good prayer life will help us keep confidence, because we talk to our Father just like we talk to each other in here, and we get comfortable with each other. Talking to the Lord, we get comfortable with the Lord, and He loves us, He wants us to be comfortable. Then, getting back a little bit to the lesson, I was trying to think of another thing, and God gave me this, the Joseph, what he went through. And Joseph, he was treated badly, you know, by his own family. And that's what made it a lot worse, because his family was jealous of him. So his brothers, they plotted against him, and they had him and threw him in a pit. And I won't say they forgot about him, but when they went back to get him, he was taken away. And he went through slavery. That's why I didn't see it. Joseph, it's in Genesis 37. And this is just how God protects us. And Joseph, he went through slavery. He went through entrapment. He went to prison. And Lord said, I got my hand on you. You just stay faithful to me, and I'll take care of everything else. And he brought him out. He brought him out of all that. He let him interpret the dreams, and he got a high position. He got a position that in the kingdom, that when the famine hit the land, he was able to turn around and protect his family from suffering from the famine. And it's just the way God deals with us. God, he gives us everything we need to make it. And even when Joseph was going through all that he was going through, he still, the lesson from yesterday, forgave his brothers and then was able to protect his family from starving to death. So God is something else. I mean, he'll take you where you need to be. But we have to submit and repent for our sins and be ready when he calls us. Another one that... Oh, good, I still got time. I like this. Another one was Rahab the harlot. In Joshua 2, verses 1 through 15, she was a sinful... Her job was a sinful job. But, you know, that job still exists. They, you know, even back in these times, it was there, and it's still here now. It ain't gone anywhere. But God put her in position to protect the two spies that were sent to look at the land. And from, you know, Rahab the harlot protected the two spies from being found and killed. And God put her in a position to save her family. Because as she hit the spies and they were ready to leave, she said, wait a second. I did this for you. I need you to protect me, my family, my brothers, my sisters, you know, take care of us. And, you know, they felt a little blackmail, but they said, okay, well, we'll take care of that. You put the red scarlet line in your window, but make sure your family's in here. Because if your family ain't in here, when we come through, what happens to them is on their heads, not on ours. So, you know, she did what she had to do to protect her family. The spies got, you know, they went back, and she also told them how to protect themselves from being found when they went out and hid in the mountains for 3 days. She said, be here, and when they come back, you'll be able to get home safely. So there's another example of protection. And then I went way out on a limb on this last one. And it's probably something that we wouldn't even think about. And that's Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was a horrible, evil, wicked woman. And she was bad from, I won't say from birth, because I didn't research that far, but when she got of age, she was just no good. And she did all manners of evil. She was a fornicator. She was a conspirator. You know, she premeditated murder for her king. So, you know, she was just really a terrible person. But still, going back to yesterday's lesson, God was willing to forgive her. He gave her a chance. But still, she was doing the burnt sacrifice and saying, hey, we got barbecue. You know, come on and eat. Y'all can sleep with whoever y'all want to. Eat, drink, and be merry right here in God's house. It's okay. I said so. Not he said so, I said so. And God was still, he said, look, stop what you're doing and tell the people that you got doing it. Stop, I'll forgive you. And that in Revelations 2, verses 22 through 23, I'll read that because that is good scripture. Right? I started with 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, not just any woman, that woman, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So that explains how bad she was. She was boldly defying God and knowing what she was doing, and she was still doing it. It just didn't matter to her, because she was queen of this and queen of that, and she was just bold with her sin and her disrespect of our Lord. And in verse 21 it says, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repent not." She just didn't care. You know, even when you got a chance, when you're given a chance and you blatantly just say, "You know what? I ain't worried about you. You ain't did nothing to me so far. I done did this for how long, and I ain't been punished. I'm still living a good life." People of this world, they do the same thing. They get a little bit of money, they doing their own thing, and then the next thing you see, they on TV, they done overdosed, they done going to rehab for the third time, because they don't reverence the Lord. If they had a little bit of God in them, half the stuff they done got into, they probably wouldn't have. But people with power get silly. Yeah, with money don't buy happiness. It might get you out of financial distress, but if you're not wise in the Lord, you'll get into a whole lot of other stuff that'll take you to that wide open road where everything is good to go. And that's the same road that the prodigal son went down. He got his money, and boom, he hit the town. He went to Vegas. And they took, and the house took everything. And he didn't wake up until he was out in the field with the pigs eating husk. Nothing. He didn't even have good shoes. He was still in the sand. So he had to humble himself and go back to his firm foundation. And verse 22, getting back to Jezebel, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Again, he's saying, you know, here's, I'm giving you this chance. You know, you have a chance to repent of your sins and all these that are with you, and, you know, she just wasn't hearing it. In verse 23, the Lord says what he was going to do with her. "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." So we're going to be judged by what we do and what we don't do. Because we, as children of God, we all have responsibility. You know, we follow God's word, we pray, we fight, we press toward the mark, we're fishers of men. So we go out and we put seed out. And we hope that it doesn't land on hard, rocky, stony ground. Just a little bit of fertile ground, but we still have to sow that seed, even regardless of where it lands, as long as we're putting it out there. Just one person. If just one person gets saved by what we do, we've done a whole lot. Because there's a lot of saints that won't say a word. They'll come to church every Sunday. There'll be a Bible study. But as soon as they leave these grounds, they don't know nothing. This Bible, like we heard before, Bible stays in the car. And half the time, it ain't in the front window. It's in the trunk. Because they don't want somebody to walk by and say, "Uh-oh. There go Christian, better watch out." Sometimes just seeing the Bible in somebody's car can be just enough. It could be that prick that somebody needs in their heart. When they see just witnessing, he's that powerful. He is that powerful that just seeing what he can do for people and just seeing the word, sometimes it'll be enough to say, "You know what, I'm gonna go to church." And that one time they might go, the seed might get a little deeper. You know, it might just be on the outside. And the sun might be rising. It might open up quick. But it also might take a little bit of root. And the fruit might not be right away. But it's just that chance. But here with Jezebel, it's just showing that God is willing to forgive. And what I wrote was, God was still willing to forgive her, which would have protected her from the horrible death she was going to get. Because he said, I'm going to kill you if you don't repent. She said, yeah, okay. And then when Jehu was out there talking to her, she just couldn't hear him still. And he told the eunuchs, all right, toss her out. And they didn't have, they when they went to bury her, there was nothing but scraps. Nothing but bones and the palm of her hands. That's all the dogs left. You mean in Revelation? This is Jesus speaking here. So that even made it that much more. You know, Jesus said it. You figure that, come on now, this is God's Son speaking to you, and you still just won't hear. But he said it. Jesus said it many times. If you have ear to hear, you know what he was saying. A lot of people just don't want to hear. You know, the saying, land on deaf ears. That's what a lot of people have, that deaf ear. They hear it. They play along with it. But they just don't feel it. They won't let it in. But they'll play the part. They got to make sure the attendance is checked. You know, oh, praise the Lord. I'm blessed. See, Pastor, you did that. She had time. She was told, she was warned. She was warned that if she didn't repent and her followers repent, that they were going to die. And she said, I'm the queen around here. I'm the queen running the king. So I'm that 18-wheeler. I'm rolling. Can't tell me nothing. he gives us all time to repent, because Rome wasn't built in a day. And you know, some of us were when we were at our worst, when we thought we were at our best, when we were at our worst, he still said, look, you got, for him, we had time. But now the devil, he'll tell us we got way more time than we got. He'll say, you got 20 years when you only got 2. Oh, you got 20, you all right. You keep doing your own thing. You good. And he'll convince us, if we don't have what we're supposed to have, then he'll take us there. The devil will take you where he wants you to go. And that's the hell. He'll destroy you, and while he's destroying you, he'll have you destroy other people right along with you. Because he's that type of person. Yeah, that was what I got out of the lesson and how God works with me. Just last night when I was doing my study, and the Lord works with me all the time, and I thank him for it. Because I went to work and I went in, I broke it out, I put it right on my desk. And it wasn't a half hour before the foreman came up. We ain't supposed to have any reading material that ain't work related. And I had it wide open. It's my work, and that's how he treated it. He came in, said a couple words, and he walked back out. Didn't say a word about it. He came back later and sat down. And I told him, I said, here it is, man. You want some good reading here? He's like, I'm all right. I said, not really. Yeah, but because God protects me while I'm at work, I'll say they overlook some of the things I do, mainly when I got this book in there. When I got the Bible in there, they don't say a word. I'll have it spread out across the desk, just like it is here, wide open, covering the desk. They'll come in, they'll get the paperwork. I'll be in there, you know, just reading. How you doing? Keep going, because God's protecting me. Because this could be a write-up. Look, I done came in here 3-4 times. You still got that thing wide open. I tell them, that's right. Maybe you need it. Yeah, just You know, Joseph was protected. It's time, but there was one more that got me. I skipped over by accident. Moses. How much protection would you need? Moses had protection all his life. But I just picked one particular, and that's Exodus 2, 1 through 10. That's when he was born. He was born a Hebrew child, and his mother was fearful. She couldn't hide him anymore. You know, she was feeding him, and she made the little ark and sent him down river. And he got picked up by the queen of the time, and her sister, well, Moses' aunt was there. She walked the riverbed watching over him till he got down there. And how miraculous the Lord is, he protected him through the river, down the river, and then his mother got to serve him, you know, got to nurture him all till he grew up. That's just God protecting his own and providing favor to his people. The king was he didn't want any of the Hebrew boy. If it was a Hebrew boy, I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that was when all the Hebrew boys were being killed. So she hid him so he would, you know, that was her boy. That's my boy. I don't want him to be any hurt, harm, or danger, so she hid him until she couldn't hide him anymore. He was probably, you know, getting loud and getting big. Yeah. Pharaoh was like, look, y'all getting too big, too many boys coming around here. We got to put a stop to this. So she provided protection for him to live. And Pharaoh, And don't parents love goodly children? A dear child. Dear child, she says goodly, but he was a dear child. It was Pharaoh's daughter was at the end. So the king's daughter was helping take care of somebody that was going to eventually have him wiped out. That's just God doing his thing. Because Pharaoh was hard-headed all up until Moses came back. So he took care of Moses all his life from birth till the end. Even when Moses was getting hard-headed and struck the stone and brought water for him, he said, look what I did. God said, who, what? I did that for you. I did that for you and our people. And even though Moses didn't get to go to the promised land, he still protected him until he died. Because he's a loving God, and yesterday's lesson, he's forgiving. And he protects us. Well, that's what I got.
Amen. You were talking about the
protect
all the armor of our God. Protect this war.
Mm-hmm.
He is
right.
The weapons that he gives us are offensive weapons. Because we're steady moving forward. No matter how many darts come out of after us, we still moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing is that victory.
Keep on keeping on.
Stop. This is not a race that you going to start and stop. This is a continuous effort. And I thought it was, you know, I had it long for children to know that about those weapons that took them to be able to live their life in this type of world that we live in. That protection, even though they're in a warfare that they have to battle,
mm-hmm.
they've got the protection of God with them already.
Yeah, God is the captain of our faith.
You might have to battle with the Lord. Somebody can get hurt along the way, but don't mean
we're
going to be
defeated in this. That's world. Right. Fall down and get back up.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing he did with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go against thousands of men.
Right.
And then you have to have a plot. When you go on after somebody, you got to say something about it. You know? And so,
he's determined.
He's teaching us that.
Each other.
Yeah. We have to be concerned about it.
That's why we pray one for another. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you can help, you help, and if that person doesn't know God, why are you helping them? You hit them with a scripture. You want this money? Well, here, it is. Here's a scripture with this little bit of help. I'm going to help you two ways. You know, put this little money in your pocket and here's a scripture to help you get where I'm going, because I don't want you to keep going where you're going. He's a captain of our faith. Yeah, the armor, it doesn't say anything about a back plate. Doesn't say anything about metal leggings down the back, because we're soldiers. We're moving forward. God got our back. You turn around, you done. That's backsliding. You're gonna backslide. There's only one way you go. You turn around, you facing that wide road again. There ain't nothing for us behind us. If you got the Lord for you, no one can be against you. But you got to trust and believe that. And the righteous, we will be tested. But that's just a test of our faith. There's often opportunities for us to fall and fail. But when you do, if you stay down, then you don't have the faith that you claim. You always get up. It says in here, fall seven times, get up seven times. Get up eight. You might have missed one. But you always got to get up, and you got to stand on God's foundation. I was going to say you got to stand on your own two feet, but they don't work that good. Okay? You got to stand on what God gave. You got to stand on the Word of God. And we already know the end. We already know we're victorious. We just got to get there. Mm-hmm. And we should, as children of God, we should always be available to help somebody. If you can't help them, it doesn't necessarily mean financially. Just a word of advice. Whether they take it or not, you gave it out of the love of your heart. So don't do this, don't do that. My grandfather used to say, I'm going to tell you. You're not going to listen because you're stupid, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I say, okay. But he knows the Bible. So, and it was funny because he would always drop grandma off at church and then he'd go back home. But if you brought up scripture, he was right there with you. He could tell you what you were talking about. Then there was a couple of times we visited, and he'd be at the kitchen table reading. I said, oh, that's why he knows so much. But God works with us in different ways. You know, the minister, preachers are have a word for everybody. But not everybody's ready to receive it. And you can't sit under just anybody. So he was at home with his Bible sitting under the Lord, because he wasn't, you know, that whatever minister was there, he just wasn't ready for that message. So I'm hoping that the Lord, that, you know, he had a season under a pastor that put enough in him for him to get where he needs to go. We're gonna pray and let y'all join the festivities or get something to eat. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the protection you give us, dear Lord. We thank you for your unmerited favor, dear Lord, or your undeserved favor, dear Lord. You just continue to be a giver. You're so good to us, and we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for this message, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, for giving me something to give your people, dear Lord. I thank you for just continually to open up the Word to us. I thank you for the teaching that you have here, Christian Bible Baptist, dear Lord. I thank you for blessing us, your people, dear Lord. I thank you for blessing Pastor Neil and giving him a mission, dear Lord. I thank you for all the things that you let me retain in my mind, dear Lord, and in my spirit. So when it's my time to stand before your people, dear Lord, I can stand on your faith because you gave me a good foundation. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Dear Lord, please continue to bestow the whole armor of God upon us. Dear Lord, give us firm foundation, a good ground to stand on, dear Lord, because we're willing to do the fight. We will not let the wiles of the devil and principalities, dear Lord, we won't let that overrun us. For we are your people, we are your servants, we are your soldiers. We just love to do your will, dear Lord. Please be with us. Please heal us, strengthen us, bless us and grace us, dear Lord. Please forgive us for our sins. We're still in this flesh, and the battle is hard, dear Lord, but we strive to be with you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus Christ, dear Lord. Without him, dear Lord, we would still be lost in darkness. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.